It is Sunday morning, May the 18th, and we want to send greetings to those who listen to the tapes, and we're very thankful to know that some of you worship in your home with us. Now today we want to look at a passage of Scripture that teaches us how God prepares us for heaven. The passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. Now let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are overwhelmed by such gracious love to us. Such wonderful protection, such faithful provision. For the privilege of thinking of you and who you are and what you have done for us and what you will do for us, we are in awe and we bow and worship. Lord God in heaven, we worship you. We adore you. We love you and all your attributes. And this morning we pray that you'll be pleased to bless this passage of Scripture to our hearts, put it into our life, and cause us to live for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses through 58, we read this. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Right after Easter, I began thinking about, well, what's next? We've had this great celebration, wonderful day, thinking of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, what's next? Well, we Christian people think of eternal affairs, and I was thinking heaven and so forth. Well, during that time, our car needed repair, so I took the car into our mechanic, and I was in the waiting room there with a pad and a pen and making some notes and thinking about heaven and so on. And a young man who had become a friend of mine there walked in and said, Bill, what are you doing, making a list? And I said, yeah, I'm thinking about after Easter, what? We've had this great day, great celebration. What's next? And I said, Jack, what do you think about that? And he said, what's next? Summer vacation. And so we both laughed. But that was a very natural response, because in a job like his, he's thinking of, When's the next holiday and when's my next vacation? Well, for we who are in Christ, we get to think of what's next as being heaven and the great future God has prepared for us. And we must remember this, that no matter how good it may be here, the best is yet to come. And so I thought it would be good for us to look at this text to remind us of heaven. And this text teaches us how God prepares us for heaven. So we ask the question, how does God prepare us for heaven? And before we get into this text, I must say that there is a matter which gets our attention that is not in this text. And that is the subject of our spiritual birth. How does God prepare us for heaven? First of all, by giving us spiritual life. The Bible describes that in sin, we are dead spiritually. So first of all, we must be given spiritual life through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, bringing us into God's family. How does God prepare us for heaven? First of all, by bringing us into His family. Now, with that in mind, we're prepared to look at this text. How does God prepare us for heaven? He does that by changing us. Although we are regenerate, there is still some work to be done. And this text explicitly says we must be changed from corruption to incorruption. In this life, sin has brought corruption. It has polluted and contaminated every part of us. And because of this, we are unacceptable for heaven. We must be changed. Now, as Paul wrote this text, he was undoubtedly looking to the fact that one day Christ will return. And when He returns, there will be some Christians on earth who will need this momentary twinkling of an eye change. There will be, of course, many Christians who have already died who will also experience this change. Every believer will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. And this text also states the necessity. Verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. In our present estate, we are not prepared for heaven. And this text says that in this state, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot enter the kingdom of God because of this body of sin. This body is corruptible. This body can decay. This body can become rotten. And so a change must take place in order for us to exist eternally. So there will be this change. Now, the exact change is not stated here. So we refer to Philippians chapter 3:20, where we read that this vile body will be changed into the likeness of his glorious body. And so we will have an eternal body, which is likened to that of the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, isn't it clear, so clear, that we cannot do any of this? We cannot bring about this change. We cannot prepare ourselves for heaven. This is God's doing. This is his sovereign grace in the life of his elect. We cannot do it. He will do it. He will change this vile body. He will take us from corruption to incorruption in preparing us for heaven. What a wonderful experience that will be, to get rid of this body with all its appetites for sin and with all its groanings and difficulties that come in this body of corruption. How does God prepare us for heaven? By regeneration, bringing us into his family, by changing us from corruptible to incorruptible. Now this text also states another change that must take place, and that is from mortal to immortal. From mortal to immortality must take place in verse 53, and God does that. Now, what is mortal? Mortal is being susceptible to death. Immortality is without death, beyond death. And so that must take place in preparing us for heaven. It is absolutely necessary. And a change must take place. And again, I refer to a different text, 1 John 3:1-3. 1 John 3:1-3, where we find his great love bestowed upon us, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, like his resurrection body, which is immortal. Our Lord Jesus Christ will never again experience death. And in our eternal state, we will never again experience death. We will be immortal. We will live in conscious awareness of his presence, actually in his presence, forever and forever and forever. In God's preparation of us for heaven, it is for eternal glory. And the wonderful thing about that is that we get rid of this body of sin. And when we are in the eternal state with him, there will be no more sin. We will not sin. And the people around us will not sin. Now that's difficult for us to even imagine or think about. We only know this by revelation in the Bible, that is the eternal state. How much we need the Savior in order to enter into this eternal state. And before we close the message, we have to think of the unbelievers. What a contrast there is between a believer in Christ and an unbeliever, a Christian and a non-Christian. one who is regenerate and one who is unregenerate. Unbelievers will also have an eternal existence. They will be eternally conscious. They will be eternally separated from God. They will be in eternal agony. Unbelievers will live with eternal guilt. Unbelievers will live with eternal fear. What a marvelous, glorious matter is the fact that God sent His Son to be the Savior. And through the Savior, we have this great future. After Easter, what? We look forward to heaven, to the eternal life with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And with all other believers, all of those whom we read about in the Scripture. And I think about that a lot for myself. The eternal reunion. I have a Father in heaven, a mother in heaven, three brothers and a sister in heaven, a host of friends whom I have known in heaven. What a day that will be, to be united with all of them forever. How important it is for us to bring the message of the gospel to those who are yet unsaved, believing in God's wonderful power and glory and His ability to give faith and to bring about this change in the lives of people. Now may the Lord God bless this text to our lives. Heavenly Father, thank You for this word which gives us such great hope and encouragement and causes us to put our eye on eternity and not to live for the pleasures of this world and not to live just to gain more possessions, but to think of our eternal estate with You. Thank You that this attention to heaven helps us to live through our present trials and difficulties and gives us that hope which springs eternal. Grant this truth to be in the heart of everyone who listens to this tape and those to whom we shall bear witness. In Jesus' name, amen.